It is exactly. So before we get into more serious stuff, I really want to congratulate everybody that participated into our first yearly Halloween costume contest. It was a real success, really, really amazing. And I think it demonstrated the level of imagination and dedication that we put into our work every day and that we can sublimate once a year. And I'm looking at Dan and because he had one of the best costumes. And I hope that next year we'll have even more emulation, and those of you who didn't participate this year will kind of let their gray cell work and do something amazing. Unfortunately, I didn't participate because I had a meeting with the provost that morning. So that went above what I'm able to handle with a costume. So, but really, those of you who weren't there, I really encourage you to go and see the pictures on the IT webpage. It's really amazing to see the effort and the quality of all the work that has been done that day. So, today, so we kind of want to alternate in terms of IT, in the fall, present more what are the current projects we're working on, what's coming during the year, and in the spring have something that's more kind of thematic. So we've tried that at, in the spring we had a conference, I think that was really appreciated by many. So we'll try to have that type of balance, one more informational and one more developmental. So we'll cover our usual topics. We will be presenting two projects today that are near and dear to us. The first one is the ITSM project that will be presented by Ryan. This is really something that touches all of us. We're all involved in defining those new processes and making sure that the tools that we're using will support them properly. And the second one is Office 365. That one is a kind of cool project because with it we'll be distributing a lot of fun stuff for students. We often find that we work a lot for back office and for McGill, different services and faculties, and we don't have that many projects that have a very direct impact on students. This one has, so I think that one is kind of fun, with the added bonus that we're going to save money. So in this context, it's a good thing. So Centraide, as usual, each fall we have our Centraide campaign. McGill is one of the good fundraiser for those charities. I personally am someone who contributes every year, because I find that it's important. You know, every year there's all sorts of event that happens that call to us, catastrophe around the world where we feel moved to give money to the Red Cross or to Oxfam or other charities because we feel the empathy and sympathy for those who live huge disasters. But there's also a lot of people in our community who have all sorts of difficulty and need support at different times in their lives. And Centraide is really the way to gather money to support those charities, whether it's to help young people stay in class, underprivileged children to have breakfast in their schools. There's all sorts of very direct, very community support activities and volunteers that are supported by Centraide, and I think it's important that we kind of balance our charitable instincts between what's happening around the world and what is happening in our own community. So to that end, there will be a lunchtime book sale next week where we encourage you to bring your used books or books that you want to get rid of to IDA, on the 16th floor at 688. And we will have that sale from 10:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. So also those of you who are interested in finding new material to read, well, you're welcome to come and buy books. or either to bring books that you want to get rid of. And of course, everybody that will be working on this is doing it on a volunteer basis, and all the money that will be collected will be given to Centraide. New staff. This year has been a rich year. So one page is not enough. You'll see there are two pages. So, of course, following the early retirement program, 43 of our colleagues took this offer and left McGill. We had the permission to replace 18 of those. So that was a significant recruitment effort. And we can thank our HR team because they really did work hard during this year. And as in some cases, internal people were chosen for those positions, well, their position became vacant. So it's kind of a cascade of recruiting. So we have a lot of people that joined us this year. I won't read all the names because there's this page and there's this page. So it's a lot. But I do encourage you, the presentation will be available to you, so you'll be able to look at that list at your leisure and see in which areas you have new colleagues. Years of Service Award. This is also a very important milestone in our IT Town Hall in the fall. So recognize our colleagues that have been devoting their efforts to McGill for a quite impressive number of years. So these we will read because it's important to recognize the effort and the contribution they have to our institution. And I will invite them either at the break or at the end of the presentation to come and get their little souvenir to acknowledge this this devotion. So 15 years, Wassim Bechara. I don't know if we would like them to stand up, maybe if they're here. So Wassim. Enza De Derio. Matt Leave, okay. So she's also contributing in another way. Christina Fallu. She's not there. Sonny Galizan. Not there either, Mike. And Chitan Yuyen. Hi. So 15 years is an absentee year, mainly absentee. 20 years, Joe Caruso. Vito Giordano. So 25 years, this starts to be really serious. Gérard Grégoire. Ashraf Ismaël. Okay. 30 years, Giovanni Mendocino. You see an Italian tendency here? Giovanni Mendocino, he's not there. Rodrigue Poujade. Jacek Slabojevic. Gary Spataro. 35 years. So this year we don't have 40 and 41 and 42 and 43 like we had in some years in the past. So 35, Richard London, the one and only. Frank Petitnicho. And Gary Wilkes. So congratulations, and congratulations also to us to because we benefit for all those impressive years of services. So as I said, during the break or at the end, you can come and get your little token. So project status. So we're in IT, so we do projects. So We have quite a few projects that are currently active. Most of them are doing well. Some are yellow more because we're kind of redefining scope around these projects. But they're still going ahead as planned. So the first one is a Drupal upgrade. That is significant because there are something like 600 websites that are managed by that team, and so they all have to be upgraded. Some of them are customized, so you have to retrofit all that customization. A lot of work while maintaining evolution in those areas. So significant effort are devoted in that project. Exchange and study awaits, the second phase for this project. It brings a lot of nice functionality, in this case also for students, because it's the program that permits them to make their choices and choose courses when they want to pass a term or a year in another institution during their studies here. G2 is a very important project because it's what manage half of the revenue of the university. So we like it. it's a high visibility, high importance project, and it's important that we manage well because we don't want to lose any of the money that's supposed to come from McGill from the government of Quebec. ITAM, this is currently managed. ITAM and ITSM are kind of done in tandem when one team is kind of resting during CFT phases or other phases. They can work they can join the other team and work on the other group. So it's interesting because it's and there's kind of a link between them because the information that is gathered from ITAM feeds ITSM in terms of managing what happens in terms of incidents or problems that we can face every day. So these two projects are going very, very well, and Ryan will present the ITSM one in a few minutes. I think that those are particularly important to us, as I said, because they will have impact on the way we work on a day-to-day basis. The master construction project list. That one is interesting also because it regroups about $1 billion of projects that represent in an important part what we call deferred maintenance. So everything that is not done every year into our buildings that are old and in some cases decrepit is kind of added to that list in terms of all the things that we should be doing. It's a very long and very considerable list, and is currently managed in Excel spreadsheets, so we felt that a more robust tool was warranted if we think of all the information that's there and that has to be maintained. Non-credit activity management project is a project for the School of Continuous Study so that they can manage registration to the different courses that they give that do not grant credit. Office 365, we'll talk, Hugo will make a presentation a bit later on that one. That is an offering that's done by Microsoft to universities to have access to a bundle of services for free. We like that. Student aid information tracking, that is to kind of track the different form of aid that are available for students, especially graduate students, whether it's through work that they do at McGill or different grants or offerings, research grants and things like that. Supplies management, that's kind of a pilot project. It's a system to manage inventory of material that is in constant use. So the first group where we're deploying that is in dentistry. They have a lot of material, valuable material, that is used on a daily basis in their clinic, and they wanted a tool to be able to manage that, which they currently don't have. So this is also a project that's being deployed. So as you see, many projects in many areas in the university, all interesting and all going pretty well. We also closed some projects this year since the last time we saw in April. eStore, which was a small system for enrollment services to all the type of things that they do that they refer that require a fee if you want the official transcripts or things like that. There's a SideQuest banner and voice integration. So that's an integration between SideQuest, which is a system that manages purchasing, and the financial systems. Dentistry clinic. That one was kind of interesting because it regrouped people from facilities, dentistry, and us. So some of you may have noticed the dentistry clinic is now on Sherbrooke on the corner of McGill. It used to be at, I think, the MGH, am I right or am I wrong? So they wanted to have a clinic downtown because they want to be more accessible for their clientele, which is mainly homeless people or people with different type of difficulty. So it's easier for them to access on Sherbrooke near the metro than it was at the Montreal General. So this was a massive construction project, but now you know, each chair is equipped with computers, screens, all sorts of equipment and application. So there's a lot of electronic, either IT equipment or AV equipment that was installed during that construction period. And also a lot of applications that were transferred that were initially managed by the Montreal General and that now are managed by us or by people, the external people that we vet. So complex, a lot of people involved, and good work done. There's still a bit of work to be done. Some of the installation, especially in classrooms, are not entirely finished, but you can go. We can see it from the street. It's pretty impressive, very top-notch type of equipment and installation. Oops. Planning. So you may know that McGill has financial difficulties. it's very difficult to get funding, especially for big projects. We've been working, especially for the network upgrade and the R2R project. R2R project is the replacement of the HR system. Not only to build the business case, prepare budget, those are big projects, so this is there's a significant amount of effort that was put into this, the planning around those two projects. Now we're at the getting money phase. In the case of the network upgrade, it's less of a problem because we already have a chargeback model for those services that we just need to tweak a bit so that we'll be able to cover the cost of the project. In the case of R2R, it's more significant because not only do we need to fund the implementation, But most of the most interesting offerings around in that environment are SaaS systems, and those go directly to operating budget. They cannot be capitalized. So from a financing point of view, it is an issue. So we're working on that. We're going to the board in December to present those projects and everything else that's in the roadmap. So we kind of trying to get kind of a blanket approval around the different projects that we have planned for the next 3 to 5 years so that we will not have to do all the jumping left and right that we're currently doing on a piecemeal basis. We'll kind of have a blanket approval and then let proper governance supervise those projects or the delivery of those projects. So I have good hopes. Those are really important. They're high priority for us and for the university. In the case of network upgrade, it is of significant importance for research that we currently have difficulty supporting adequately. And in the case of R2R, the impact is really to reduce the workload on administrative staff that have been significantly decreased following the early retirement program. So in a way, if we don't reduce workload, the people who are left are going to die there because the work is enormous, and the people who left weren't idle. I also wanted to give you a small update on what we're doing from an HR perspective in IT. So if you remember, maybe 2 years ago, we had a survey that was done for the whole of the personnel of VP Admin and Finance. Aon Hewitt was the company that managed that survey. Unfortunately, the results were so unequal between the different units that the VP decided that he didn't want to communicate the results, the detailed results. But we did get very high level agglomerated results that weren't of great interest, especially in our case where we were used to have yearly surveys in the past, and we already had kind of a history that we could build on, which was not the case for the other units. But one thing was really interesting. It was this one. It's in the terms of defining what was the perception of our staff around engagement drivers. So different aspect of our work. Some who are where people feel this is something of great value for them in their work at McGill and they appreciate it. Or things that people felt were a disappointment to them, were not significantly helping them in their work, and they wanted to see it improved. So the highest one was co-workers. The fun that people have to work with their colleagues is highly rated, a very high satisfaction rate. The second one, weirdly enough, was physical environment, and that surprised me because in many cases the working environment, if I think about the fifth floor, for example, or at Burnside, could really be improved. There's work to be done there, but still it seems people appreciate the environment they have. And finally, the corporate social responsibility, the way McGill engages in the community. In terms of lower enjoyment drivers, and you'll see it's interesting because they kind of, except for senior leadership, they kind of all relate. Career opportunity, recognition, work processes, and managing performance are all linked to the day-to-day work that people do, and there the satisfaction is low. So even though we weren't permitted to disseminate the results of the survey, knowing this, there was significant work that was done, either in unit. I think of Ryan, for example, who has all sorts of initiatives happening in his unit around engagement and your blog and different groups that are working in improving the working climate in that unit. And other also have initiatives that are specific to their different groups. Even though people were satisfied from their physical environment, we did invest, and we will continue to invest in the renovation of our different work environments so that they're more up-to-date and agreeable. There's the process review that's going on. The ITSM and the ITEM projects are significant investment in terms of bringing more clarity and more predictability in terms of the processes that are used in IT. The work that was done around the job family and job description revision, that's nearly entirely finished. Lucy was telling me yesterday that they're just waiting for some job descriptions of managers that are currently not entirely finished before that comes entirely public and you can see all of them. You already saw that because there were significant review that was done in terms of job description, the benchmarking that was done, and the adjustments that were made to salary scales. There's also, and I'll show you some numbers around that, internal mobility that is encouraged, and we're seeing results around that. and massive investment in training. And there's also a committee that's working currently on reviewing the performance dialogue form and the way performance dialogue is done so that it's brings, again, more clarity and more for managers and for staff and more value to the process. I think the objective of doing performance review is really kind of assist in the career path management of employees. So that has to be done properly, and there's a group that's working on that, and every year we're, I think we see that as a continuous process. We're going to try to improve the forms and the process so that it is tied in to the McGill objectives, but also reflect properly the evolution of each employee's career. So internal mobility. So in 2012, there were and here I exclude all the conversions. So as we said, we benchmark and we've converted a lot of positions during the position review and the job family review. This is not included because that would have been, I think, about half the staff were touched by that process in some way or another. So we're really talking people getting new positions. So in 2012, we had 9 employees who either had a lateral promotion position change or a promotion. And lateral is important. You have to understand we only have 4 levels, which is a very flat structure. And if you want to attain a higher level, you need kind of a breadth of experience. So having some lateral moves prepare you to go to a higher level, and it shouldn't be seen as faire du surplace. It really is an investment in getting more experience, a wider range of experience in different domains, so that you are prepared for a higher level of position afterwards. In 2013. So we're already seeing an improvement there where we, of course, currently we have a lot of vacant positions, so it's a good avenue to, and I think that will probably be reflected in the following year because when we look at the age curve, there will be additional retirements, so that position will become open and promote mobility in staff. And as of October, which is the half of the year, we already had 6 people who had changed or being promoted. So I think that shows that there are real opportunity, and you should be exploring them. And as I said, you should be thinking not only of promotion but of lateral move that will enrich your experience. Training. So this is pretty busy. Maybe you can wait for the presentation, but I think that what is interesting is that in 2012-13, we had 188 participants in different training. These are not people, they're participants, so the same person may have participated to a few courses for a total of 2,445 hours. In 2013-14, there was 505 participant courses, so much more than doubling, for nearly 6,000 hours. So this is huge. You'll see that there's a lot of it that's around the ITIL training. There was a significant investment in the ITIL training. But there's also the certification process that the BAs have followed. So we're trying to bring a different category of staff to have certification. So same thing for security personnel also. There's been quite a lot of technical training. So there's really, now that we have a better understanding of the different positions, of different roles and responsibility, the different technologies that we're using, it's kind of easier for us to plan a broad training to make sure that everybody has the level of expertise for the jobs that they're currently occupying. And this year, and that's of September 1st, so not even half of the year, we already have 2,600 hours of training that have been followed by IT staff. So we'll probably by the end of the year beat last year. It was already a very high. So this is much more than the 1% that is mandated by law, much, much more. I think that's a significant investment from McGill's part to make sure that our personnel is really up to date in their training and knowledge of the tools and the methodology that they are using. So this will come later, and we will intersect a presentation by my friend Ryan that's going to come and do a presentation. Well, I don't know. Where is it? Is it this one? Yay.
Morning, everyone. Oh, no. Hold on. There we go. All right. So I think this is the second time I'm up here talking about ITSM or ITIL. So this is to bring you up to date on where we're at with this project. I'd started to work on my own presentation for today, but last week the project team came to the steering committee for the project and presented an update on the project. And that presentation was actually better than the one I was putting together. So I figured you'd appreciate seeing exactly what the steering committee was shown. Sorry. It's not starting the slideshow. If I go like that. Oh, that's working. Okay. So the next few slides are exactly what was presented to the steering committee. I changed the order of some of the slides. They chose to go with a more sort of reverse order. I decided to go with the more traditional route. So you'll see some names up there. Are any of these people in the room? Are consultants? No? Then I didn't have to give them credit then. So you see Hisham Guillermi, Patrick Bilodeau, and Michaela Flores. These are the consultants that we brought in specifically to work on this project and the ITOM project. We couldn't have done better from a selection standpoint. These are really probably the best external resources I've ever worked with. So they're doing really great work. So like I said, I've reversed the order to a more traditional order. I'm going to start with the current situation, more of a shock and awe approach. And I'm not seeing the slide here. I don't know why this isn't working. Just give me a moment, please. Okay, well, I'll have to try and do my best here. Just give me I'm going to close it and open it back up again. Sorry. There we go. Okay. So first, current situation. So I'm not going to go through this in detail, but what this is meant to demonstrate is, well, this is the current state. So here you see, for the most part, the tools that we're using today, the processes that are both in scope and out of scope, the sort of front-end systems, the back-end systems that we sort of touch, and our different customers. And I think what this is really meant to demonstrate, that sort of spider web that you see there, is meant to sort of show if we, and one of the goals of this project is to decommission a lot of the old tools, some of them redundant or sort of overlapping, disable or retire these old tools and replace them with a centralized, integrated tool set. The problem is some of these tools are not only being used for the processes that are in scope of the project, some of them are also being used for processes that are out of scope. They're being used by users other than IT. So trying to take one out without impacting everything else is going to be quite a challenge. So I'm not going to go through that in detail, but you can go through it on your own. but there's a lot going on there. So continuing with the current state, the good news first, the enablers. These are the things that we're already doing that are going to help us as we move forward. We already have a service management organization in place and process owners, service managers in place, which is really a good thing. For the six processes that are in scope, all of those processes are already in place at varying degrees of maturity, but they're all there. The limiters, these are the things that are going to be challenges going forward. We have multiple customized ticketing tools and processes using different procedures, standards, and naming conventions across all the units, even within some, within the same units in some cases. We have multiple entry points for customers, multiple entry points for IT users as well. Unreliable and unreconciled inventory of CIs, that's configuration items, that's our hardware, our software, the things that we manage in IT. Producing reports around the services that we deliver, reports around the processes, around ticket response time or incident response time, how we manage change. The reporting around that is very, very labor intensive and not always as accurate as we need it to be. We have very little global visibility on the overall work being produced by IT and our throughput. And we have a suboptimal fulfillment process due to tool duplication and a lack of integration. Continuing with some of the challenges, these are sort of the high-level global challenges. One of the things we're going to face is moving from a component-centric to a service-centric delivery model. Right now in IT, we have a tendency to be very focused on a piece of equipment, system, an application, and we have to move towards seeing things as an end-to-end service, delivering value to a customer. Switching from autonomous units, IT units that sort of are self-contained, to sort of that silo idea, moving from autonomous units to interdependent units where we all sort of work together to deliver the service. And I think this is something we've been sort of tackling for the last few years, and I think we've made a lot of progress there. There will be inevitably a loss of functionality and flexibility of niche tools as we move from all of these very specialized tools to a single integrated tool set. There may be some functionality that's lost in the interest of having standardization across the board. So that's something we're going to need to deal with. Having a zero impact deployment, like I said before, that sort of spiderweb diagram, you pull something out, it's hard to do that without impacting other things that are not necessarily in scope of the project. Managing expectations. We need to make sure that as we move into this new tool, the new processes, that we avoid the tendency to copy the old way of doing things and just, introducing a new tool, but doing it still the old way. On the people side, so we broke it out by sort of end user experience and staff. On the end user side, we're going to be moving from a personalized end user experience to more standardized. In some cases, we have users, in many cases, we have users that know exactly who they like to deal with. They know where to go in ISR, NCS, ICS, wherever. And we're going to be trying to drive our customers towards a more standardized single point of entry. Which takes me to point two, from many entry points to two. So service desk being one of them and self-service. Resolution time from best effort, which is kind of the way we manage today, always trying to get things done as quickly as possible, sometimes neglecting things that may be of higher priority and moving towards a more service level SLO or service level objective. Thank you. Service level objective based support fulfillment. On the staff side, moving towards standardized processes and tools, having to document for the use of people outside of their unit. So this is something that You know, if you're working on a ticket or working on an RFC, for example, it's not just about documenting what you need to know or what your team needs to know. You have to keep in mind there are other people outside of your unit that may be looking at that RFC or looking at that ticket or problem ticket, and there may be details that they need to know that you sort of take for granted that your team understands, but you're having to document it in the tool anyways because it's, you know, we're going to be interdependent units. We need to work together. We'll be introducing new roles and responsibilities, so it's going to be very role-based as we move forward. And those roles won't necessarily represent new positions, it will sort of represent hats that people will wear. And these are sort of standard roles that each process that will be defined at the process level, and then those roles will be played by people in the different units. For example, a queue manager, you know, somebody that, you know, is responsible in any team or any unit for monitoring the flow of work, the flow of tickets, and making sure that that work is properly distributed and assigned. And there's going to be new tool skill requirements. We bring in new technology, new processes, so training is going to be a big requirement here in this project. Next couple of slides are talking about the process challenges. I'm not going to go through them in detail, but for each process and scope, we have service catalog, asset and configuration management, change management, incident management, request fulfillment, and problem management. The team has identified some of the challenges that we're going to face more from a process side. For example, on the service asset and configuration management side, CI information will be required. But we need to define what those requirements are. Just because we can track it and just because you manage it doesn't necessarily mean that we need that information in the tool. So we kind of have to really be clear about what we're tracking and what we're not. I'll skip that one. So moving into the desired state. So this is where we want to be. So I'll actually sort of contrast. That's where we are. That's where we want to be. So as you can see, one of the first things to take note of is really two entry points for all users, for customers, for McGill staff, for service desk staff and IT staff. There's the self-service portal and then the IT portal. So the self-service portal would be where users go to submit a request, an incident, a change, whatever. And then the IT portal would be where IT staff who are managing, fulfilling those requests or dealing with those that work would go to fulfill those requests. And you see in the center, you don't see my mouse, so I'll stop using it. You see in the center, that's to represent the integrated, centralized ITSM tool, which is where all of that data will be stored. Now, that data will be coming from many different sources, a lot of the same sources that we have today, a lot of the monitoring tools that are in place. Some of that's going to be coming from the IT operations management project, other integrations to Banner, AD, what have you. But there's going to be one place where all of this data is stored, all the process automation, all the reports, everything will be in one place. So here's the benefit. Here's what we're trying to accomplish. So we're trying to improve efficiency through harmonized and standardized policies, processes, and procedures across McGill IT. Centralized and standardized entry points for customers and end users. So single one-stop shop idea. Enterprise-wide ITSM processes leveled at maturity 3. So that's really the objective that we're trying to attain with this project. If you recall, when we did the maturity assessment a couple of years ago of our incident and change management processes, they came in at about a maturity level 2, 1.9 and 2.1. And so we're trying to achieve a level 3 maturity on the CMMI. SLO-based work prioritization and planning. And integration with continual service improvement processes. So this is actually one of the top-level objectives we have in IT for 2014-2015 to implement continual service improvement. So this is not something that we're going to, you know, do the project, deliver the tool and the processes, and that's it. The idea is to have a CSI process supporting that, you know, continues to improve it over time as we grow and as the needs of the business change over time. We're trying to improve the visibility on work. So I talked a bit earlier about queue management to make sure that work tasks related to changes, requests, problems, and incidents are being followed and aren't falling through the cracks. Unit level and global managed and monitored work in progress, making sure that we have a handle, we have a sense, you know, at any, you know, any manager, any IT director can, you know, for their unit or their team, get a sense of the work that their team is working on and their capacity to actually complete that work, to identify capacity issues. Baseline process throughput, identifying and eliminating process bottlenecks and constraints, and then measuring value is one of the other benefits. Being able to have objective-centric metrics and visual reports. So again, so that managers, directors, the CIO, at any given time can get a sense of, you know, get a feel for where IT is at, what work is coming in, what work is going out, the level of quality of that work. These are all things that we have difficulty doing today. And we're looking to have accurate, up-to-date, practical, and reliable information on services, CIs, customers, and users. This is also something we struggle with today. One of the other things that will be coming out of this project is the definition of roles within each process. So I won't cover all of these in detail, but we really want to have standardized roles. Each process will have standard roles that various people will wear. In some cases, people will wear multiple hats or have multiple roles, but each process will have clearly defined roles, RACI charts, clear understanding of what's expected of them, what their responsibilities and accountabilities are. So moving forward, this is the next few months. Actually, in the next slide, I'll get into the timeline. What's next? We need to build a strong call for tender, CFT, for the best possible tool. We haven't decided whether or not that's going to be cloud-based or locally hosted. We're open to either solution, but we want to make sure that whatever we get with the budget that we have, that it meets McGill's needs. We need to overcome the people challenges that I described earlier through frequent and targeted two-way communication and training. What we're in the process of doing now, we have the three resources that were hired for this project. We're actually hiring a fourth, an organizational change manager that's going to help us specifically deal with those particular challenges, the sort of people side of the element. Overcome process challenges by leveraging the consultant expertise, those three, now four, soon to be four resources, and also involving staff in all units in the process design and implementation phase. Although we've brought in these experts from the outside, this is going to be your tool. And we want to involve as many of you in the discussions, as many of you in the process design sessions as possible to make sure that what we end up with fits our needs and not the needs of a group of consultants. We're going to use a process-phased approach, not big bang. We're not sort of, taking everything out and rip and replace. We're doing things in phases. We haven't planned out the phases yet, but that's the approach. And we want to establish strong key KPIs or key performance indicators to make sure that we're on track and that we stay on track. So here we have the project timeline. So the first, you can sort of see where we are in November. So the CFT process is where we're sort of the next phase in the project. We're starting to develop the CFT, and the CFT is planned to be launched in December. And we plan to have our tool selected by, that would be the implementation in May, June. So it's an aggressive timeline, and you can sort of see sort of throughout the what Guylaine was mentioning earlier, the integration with the ITOM project, the IT Operations Management project. It's the same resources, it's a lot of the same resources on the sort of consultant side, but on the IT side as well. The people that are working on the ITSM project are pretty much the same people who are going to be working on the ITOM project. So we need to sort of integrate those two. We're managing them as this was sort of a decision that was made earlier on. Do we sort of treat this as one big project, ITSM and ITOM, or do it as two separate things? And we decided to do it as two separate projects to make sure that we really get the best fit for both. They both need to be integrated, but we don't want to, you know, go to tender for a ITSM and ITOM tool. We want to get the best ITSM tool possible and the best ITOM tool possible with the condition that they be integrated. And just before I end, just wanted to thank personally the work group participants. So we've already done the high-level process design with the help of Patrick Bilodeau. He's one of the consultants that was brought in. And I think in total there was close to 20 separate work group sessions on each of the six processes in scope. And you see the names there. Some have multiple processes beside their names. So there's a lot of work that went into this, and it involved you. It involved IT staff. It wasn't just the consultants building processes on their own. I have a question slide here. I'm not sure if we want to do questions after the break or can do them now. Anyone have a question? No? All right. Thank you very much. Were we breaking now? Yeah, so we're going to take a quick intermission, and we'll be back in 15 minutes, I guess. Thank you.